Liverpool go joint top of the Premier League. Arsenal lead on goal difference, but we had to win this one after a really tough last week for Liverpool. Going out of Europe, the defeat to Crystal Palace at Anfield. We needed a response from the boys. And when you get players back like Trent Alexander-Arnold and Diogo Jota, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Trent Alexander-Arnold with a magnificent free kick to give Liverpool the lead. What a goal it was. Fulham equalised in first half stoppage time through Timothy Castagne from a low cross. There's wild celebrations on the bench with Ibu Konate picking up Ryan Gravenberg, because it was a brilliant moment. Harvey Elliott, who earlier missed a big chance, set up Ryan Gravenberg with a marvellous finish from the edge of the box. His first Premier League goal for Liverpool. And then the outstanding Cody Gakpo sets up Diogo Jota to finish and make the final score here. Fulham 1, Liverpool 3.
Welcome to The Reaction, where we are looking back to Liverpool's 3-1 victory over Fulham at Craven Cottage. We'll bring you the thoughts of Jurgen Klopp and the goal scorers to Ryan Gravenberg and Diogo Jota on the way, as well as our pundits for today, Gary Gillespie and Neil Mellor as well. First, though, to our reporter Mark Benstead at Craven Cottage. He's with former Reds Ray Houghton.
Thank you, Becky. Ray and I have made our way down pitch side, where all of the interviews have been carried out. The various media are sort of packing up at the moment. We've had a chance to sort of chat through what we've seen here today. I think overall a really professional performance at times, and a real element of control within the game by and large, Ray.
Yeah, when you think of some of the games that Liverpool played recently, you know, you think they were a little bit tiredness crept into some of the matches. Not today. I thought from minute one to the 90th minute, complete control of the match. At no stage did I really think Fulham was really in that match. I think you give all the credit to Liverpool. The manager, he was bold in the selection today, made a few changes, five changes. And you think, some of the lads have not been playing recently. Trent scores. Jota comes in, who's not been playing, scores. Ryan comes in, scores. So you got, when you're looking at it from that point of view, the manager was right to make the changes that he did. I'm sure he'll make a few more for the game against Everton and the game against West Ham, because he'll utilise his squad as best he can in the upcoming fixtures. But I said before, a ball was kicked today, they had to match for them, and they certainly done that. And I think that was one of the main reasons that they got the 3 points today.
He spoke ahead of this game about the fact that maybe sometimes Liverpool are better being the hunter. Did we maybe see a little bit of that today? The fact that, you know, it's a week where we're probably going to have to win all three fixtures. They've come to a difficult place and won already. It sets them up for part two of this trilogy that lies ahead.
I just think they know what's at stake now. You know, there was six matches before a ball was kicked today. They knew they had to win every one of them to put the other two under pressure. And I think they've done that. You know, they're now looking forward to the game on Wednesday. You know, they can forget about this. It's gone now. They've got the 3 points. They've had the performance. It's on to what you do next. Probably a bit of rest tomorrow, I would imagine, before a bit of training on Tuesday, then into the game on Wednesday. No team talk required from the manager. It'll take care of itself because of the opposition that you're playing against. But as I said, if you can get three wins in the three away games that they've got in the 7 days, 6 days that they're going to be playing the matches, it'll be absolutely huge. Absolutely massive confidence it brings. You know, you've seen the fans today and the support getting behind the Liverpool players was absolutely immense. You'll see that in the two away games. You know, they'll take up their allocation. And then you're on to the final hurdle. And all it is, Mark, you're getting yourselves into a position where you can win it. And that's all Liverpool are doing at the moment. They're trying to get themselves into a position where they can actually win the Premier League title. There's still going to be twists and turns along the way. But as I said, you know, I can see it going down to that last game.
You mentioned the fans. They were in that corner just across from us today in fine voice. Do you think today was important to kind of rally them? It felt like both players and the fans kind of got themselves going again today after the kind of the recent disappointments we've had to endure.
I think the way you get the fans up personally is by what you do on the pitch. If they see energy and they see you getting around the pitch and that, you know, determination, application, if they see all that, they'll be behind you all the way. And Liverpool showed that in abundance today. I thought Trent coming in the positions that he took up, his vision, his awareness, his passing ability, exceptional. But for me, Andy Robertson, I thought he got him down that left-hand side. He was absolutely amazing. Listen, they've just picked them two up. There was a lot of other players I could have mentioned in the job that they'd done today. It was quite magnificent. Kwanzaa and Virgil at the back, I mean, they could have been playing for another 90 minutes and they wouldn't have really fazed them because they were in such control all over the park. There were so many, I thought, top-class performances from the players. When asked to come in and apply themselves and give a good performance, they were there to do it. And the only thing for the manager is what he's going to do in the game against Everton team selection. It'll be difficult for him because, you know, the lads that were on the bench today, they all want to get into the starting 11, and the ones that have played and played well today, they'll be saying, well, I deserve to keep my position, which is a good thing as a manager. It's a good thing for a club to be in that situation.
Just finally, I just wonder at what stage the players start thinking about goal difference. Fans are starting to sort of chatter about it, given how tight it is. Is that not on the players' minds yet?
No, not yet. I mean, at the moment, it is just about winning. You need that winning mentality. Every game you go into now, you know what's at stake. It puts pressure. Now, the pressure reverses back on to Man City when they play their next game, because they're now to play catch-up with Arsenal and Liverpool because they're now level on points. And that's the beauty of the league and where we stand at the moment. Every game matters. You know there's pressure, and it's who handles the best over the next fixtures.
That's what it's all about. Job done today. Next stop, of course, is Goodison in midweek. We can't wait for that one.
3-1 it finishes to Liverpool. Gary Gillespie and Neil Mellor have just soaked all that up. Gary, we said we needed a strong performance and a big reaction, and we got that today, especially in the second half, I think.
Yeah, I think there's always trepidation going into a game like this, especially when you're playing away from home. And like Fulham have shown us they're no mugs. Every time we've played them this season, it's always been a very close encounter. So you have a little bit of like trepidation going into the game. But Liverpool, in the end, made it quite simple and quite easy for themselves. Dominated possession, as I thought they would do, but they looked comfortable in possession as well. There was no hurriedness about them. A little bit of a slip-up, a little bit of a hiccup just towards the end of the first half when we conceded. I did say that, like in the preview show, I thought we might concede and we'd have to score more than one goal. That proved the case. I think Ronnie got it right. He predicted the right score and said 3-1.
He certainly did, yeah.
But overall, I thought it was a really good performance. I think we took the sting out of the game more or less right from the start, and it made it difficult for Fulham to get any sort of momentum and any sort of like getting the crowd behind them and create that like atmosphere that could have maybe made it a little bit more difficult for us. So in the end, it was a comfortable victory, I thought, but it was made comfortable by the way we actually went about and did our business.
Feels like a big win. It feels like a big win in terms of we've been knocked out of Europe during the week. We're disappointed by that. The defeat last time out against Crystal Palace in the Premier League. So we've not been at our best, and you're thinking, well, we just want to get back to winning ways. We want to start putting pressure on Arsenal, on Manchester City. And that, for me, was a massive win. It took an ugly, horrible 1-0. It's ended up being more comfortable with the way we played second half. It felt a little bit the same in the second half. 2-1 up, don't let them back into the game. We're way on top, we need that third goal. And we got that two-goal cushion. And that's something we've not done in recent games. And I felt as though that was a big difference. It deflated Fulham. And you could see it gave the lads extra confidence to go on and get the 3 points.
Yeah, when you said especially the timing of Fulham's goal, there's that worry, isn't there, that they obviously then go into the break with the tails up and come out with a wind in themselves for the second half. But it was Liverpool actually who took control of the game from that point on.
Yeah, I think the manager would be happy with that. I think, as Neil rightly says, to have that two-goal cushion makes a big difference. I know we scored in the 76th minute, but in saying that, it still gave us that little bit of like license to like just keep possession and maintain possession and like, you know, chase Fulham about the pitch, or make them chase the ball. And in the end, I think, as I said before, it's a big result because going into this game off the back of what we've seen in recent weeks, to win the game and win it as comfortably as what we did do, I think that bodes well for the rest of the season. Still got tough fixtures, let's face it. Everton away is always going to be a tough fixture. And then you've got West Ham, who are struggling a little bit themselves, but probably will respond to playing against Liverpool down at their place. So I think it's a big week for us. And if we can get through this week, then I think we'll have a better picture maybe where we are.
Yeah. I think half-time was a big half-time team talk from the manager. You know yourself, if you conceded a goal right at half-time, everyone's down, everyone's a little bit flat. And the manager had to lift them. And whatever was said at half-time, whether it was him, or the players as well, the response was there. Fulham never started second half. We didn't allow them to start. We got on the front foot. We got ourselves in front. I don't think Fulham had a shot till the last 10 minutes. That's how dominant we were. And we took the game away from Fulham. But it was the way we started that second half. The lads could have been a little bit down, feeling sorry for themselves, but they didn't. They came out and were absolutely spot on. So that was a big, big second half, because it would have felt like 2 points dropped again today. It hasn't been. We're back to winning ways. and we're back ahead of Manchester City in the Premier League. Another Premier League game before they play in the Premier League. Put the pressure back on them to see how they handle it.
Well, that is all we can do. We said that pre-match, didn't we? That it is technically out of our hands, but all you can do is put the ball back in their court. And as Mel says, you know, there's a bit of time before they play. So two games under Liverpool's belt before they go to Brighton. And you never know how the table
might look. Well, Arsenal did it to us, didn't they, in many ways? Like, getting the result yesterday, like the 2-0 result at Wolves. And you think you're looking at them and they look quite comfortable at Wolves. So the pressure's back on you. But, you know, you can only control what you can control. And I think that's the mentality that you have to go, especially at this stage of the season and going into the games that we have. I think that is the key message, that it's all about our performances, all about our results. And, you know, we're putting ourselves in a position, by losing the Crystal Palace game, that I don't think we can afford any like slip-ups in the running in the next five games.
Yeah, that is the truth, isn't it? I mean, you never know what's going to happen. But had it not been the 3 points today, it doesn't look great, the overall picture for the title. So to pick them up is so important in every single game.
Yeah, I mean, we want to be in a position where if either slip up, Arsenal and City, which is what we're relying on at the moment, we're doing all we can do. And rather than thinking, oh, what's their result? If we can do all we can do, and put the pressure on them, the pressure will mount. There's no doubt about that, because City all of a sudden go into the next Premier League game 4 points behind us. That mounts pressure, and that's a tough game, Brighton on Thursday. That's a tough game. They'll be fresher. I think they've got a big performance in the Brighton. I really do think that. But we're at the stage of hoping that they slip up. But that was a good one today, to get back to winning ways and just remind Arsenal and City that we are definitely still in this title race.
Yeah, it's funny because obviously Thursday was a win, but it didn't feel like one, did it? Whereas this one does. And it's just important to be building that momentum now, Gary.
Well, you say it didn't feel like a win, but what it was a win. And it was a turnaround. It was a performance, a good European performance away from home. You kept a clean sheet, and that, you know, it just gives you that little like sprinkle of confidence that we probably needed. And I always think that, you know, when you get on that winning streak, that's where you want to be. You want to be winning games. And as much as it was a bit of a deflation because we'd obviously gone out of the competition, it was still a victory. It was still a clean sheet, and that gives a little bit more belief to like the players in the squad. And I think that certainly helped us. Had we got we had got a draw against Atalanta, or we got beat against Atalanta, I don't think you see that sort of performance against Fulham this weekend. I think we'd have seen a far different Liverpool side. I thought we started the game with plenty of energy, something that's maybe been lacking in a few games recently. And I thought the changes that the manager had made at the start of the game worked exceptionally well.
Yeah, I'm interested to get Mel's thoughts on that, because obviously Gary was with us pre-match when the team came in and you weren't yourself. So what was your initial thoughts on the five changes? A lot of people naturally would have been surprised to see Mohamed Salah, maybe Alexis McAllister on the bench, but it's also that time of the season when the minutes are really stacking up for the players.
Well, there's three away games in 6 days, so we knew there'd be changes on the back of that one in Europe. We didn't know how many. Ultimately, they're all probably going to get a breather at some point. It was Salah's turn on this occasion. I was made up to see Jota back in the starting lineup, and I think it was great to see him get 70 minutes under his belt and get himself a goal. I think that's a massive boost. It really is. Same with Trent as well. I know he started the last game, but to see him getting 80 minutes, I think that's a big boost, because you could see his influence in the game. The big area where it changed was midfield. He changed the midfield completely, and we had the energy to really compete. And I think that certainly showed in the second half. You could see that sort of freshness rather than tiredness, and I think that was a big factor. Quanta coming in for Konate, no surprise. So the five changes, it worked. They'll probably be four or five again for the next game, and maybe the next game as well. They're all going to be needed, but that change room will be absolutely bouncing. They'll be feeling good for themselves after that win.
Yeah, we spoke about the midfield needing to gel quickly. Great for Ryan Gravenberch to get a goal as well. But no subs made until the 74th minute, which, you know, shows how well they did, really.
Well, I think, as Neil rightly said, there was a bit more energy in there. I thought Endo, he kind of played that holding midfield role where he sat in front of the back four. Didn't really move too much from there, which allowed Gravenberch and allowed Gakpo and allowed Harvey Elliott to be busy and industrious in front of him. And I think, you know, sometimes you look at Gravenberch and you think he's got great technique, and then other times you see him falling over the ball, a bit like Gakpo as well. Sometimes he looks fantastic, on the half turn, letting the ball run through him. and like breaking the lines when like he breaks through the midfield, starts like attacking like the back four. That creates like different like angles, different spaces. We saw a couple of times that like in the game this afternoon. But overall, I thought it was the energy that they had more than like their technical ability that caused Fulham the problems.
Yeah, standouts for you, Mels. I think in commentary it was mentioned about Virgil van Dijk as well, which almost seems like a given, but shouldn't be a given and should get credits where it's due because he was outstanding as well today.
Yeah, yeah. And just at certain times he read the game really well when he thought it could be a nervy moment, maybe a counter-attack for Fulham, maybe a cross coming into the penalty area. I thought he was dominant in that respect. I think as an attacking force, I thought we looked fresh and we caused Fulham a lot of problems. I thought Harvey Elliott was outstanding in midfield, Gravenberch as well. But also Cody Gakpo for me. Probably hasn't had a lot of minutes recently, but I thought he looked sharp. I was made up he got the assist. You know when VAR were checking the offside for Joss, I was like, Gakpo deserved that assist. He nearly got himself a goal as well. But yeah, I thought he looked fresh, he looked hungry. And for me, he was one of our better players today. Yeah,
yeah, I think he's been a real bright spot in what has been a tough last few weeks, Gary, because he has individually performed really well in difficult circumstances.
Well, again, you know, we're going into this game and we're talking about the, you know, the squandering of chances and the opportunities that we've made a mess of, but and the lack of goals from like our front players. But again, you look at like the stats throughout the course of the year. I think he scored 14 goals, Gakpo, through the course of the season. Now, for a player that plays in a number of positions, it's not always like a forward position that he plays. I think 14 goals is a pretty good return.
What's his position? Because if you what's his position? Because he can play so many.
You wouldn't really know like his best position. Is it a false number nine? Is it a left side midfield player? Is it a left side attacking player? Is it a right side attacking player? You're not quite sure where it is. But as I say, to the return of 14 goals is quite impressive.
Is that position thing a hindrance as well as a help? In sort of, he obviously gets a lot of opportunities because he can play in various positions, but at the same time, similar to kind of what Curtis Jones maybe suffered from for a little bit of time, that he doesn't kind of have a spot to go, this is my spot in the team.
I do think nowadays you need that flexibility within certain players in the squad. I think he's one of them. I think Harvey Elliott's another one. It was quite nice to see him playing in midfield today. I know he's played in the front three at times as well. So I think having that flexibility is really helpful to the manager just to be able to change things. And even in the game, I looked at the front three, the way it started, and thought they could all swap. Mm. You know, you saw obviously Diaz out on the right-hand side. He could have gone left. Jota maybe switched. So it asks more questions of the opposition, yeah, if it's not quite working out. But yeah, for me, Gakpo, we've seen him play as an 8, as a 10, as an 8. He can play in the front three.
I think as a modern day forward player, I think that's what you are. You're a forward player. You're not a right winger, you're not a left winger, you're not a centre forward, you're a forward player. So like anywhere along that forward line, I think you're expected to be somewhere along there and get yourself into the box, create opportunities to score goals. And that's what they've all done.
OK, we are hoping to get some reaction very soon from Craven Cottage. Let's just speak about the goals individually before we do go back down to West London. Firstly, Trent, Mels getting that free kick. I mean, world class. There's no other way to describe it.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a moment before it when we had a free kick. And I don't know what was said between him and Harvey, but he let Harvey take it on the one just before it. It looked a more scorable position, I think, that second one. But that's what he has in his locker. I mean, he scored one at Anfield this season, which, you know, the dodgy goals panel took it off him, which was harsh. You know, it went down as a Leno own goal. Mm. But that's what he's capable of from that sort of range, producing an unbelievable moment of quality. That's what it is. I mean, you look at free kicks and you go, cool, what a free kick. Up and down over the wall, goalies gets nowhere near it. And Liverpool needed that at that time. You know, 0-0, you're thinking, we need that little bit of quality, and Trent provided it.
It's obviously like a situation in terms of, as wonderful we said pre-match about Conor Bradley and how outstanding he's been, there's qualities that exist within Trent that exist in very few players around the world, really, and that's an example of what he brings to this team.
Well, I think it speaks volumes for Conor Bradley that the fact that, you know, like we're talking about a world-class individual player in Trent Alexander-Arnold. And in many ways, the fact that he was out for so long and we didn't really miss him that much, in all fairness, I think speaks volumes like how well young Conor came into the side and played. But in saying that, when you've got the quality that you have in Trent Alexander-Arnold, I've said this often enough, the four players, like for me, that come back straight into the side for Liverpool are the goalkeeper, Alisson Becker, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Virgil van Dijk if he's been out, and Mohamed Salah. Yeah. There's the four players that like you would say that had they been out for a wee while, these are the four players that you would pick on a regular basis. If it was like, if it was a cup final, if it was like a game that you had to depend on players, you'd pick these four.
The spine of the team.
And Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, you know, the ability that he has. I don't hear too many people talking about his lack of defensive duties and ability these days. I think he's worked on that. I don't think he gets nearly as much exposed down that right-hand side. I think the centre-backs have kind of found a way to kind of cover him in Young Kwanza and certainly in Kanate as well. And I think he gets that licence to go into these central positions, use his strengths, use his range of passing, and obviously from dead ball situations, he's lethal.
Yeah, we've got Ryan Gravenberch coming up in a couple of minutes' time for you. Just briefly touch on the equaliser, Melzer. Timothy Castagne, obviously, as we said, an added time. From a Liverpool perspective, a poor goal to concede, I think.
Yeah, right on the stroke of half-time. Never really looked like getting themselves a goal. 1-0, not a comfortable scoreline. And it invites them back into the game, and you're thinking, we don't stop the cross initially from the left-hand side. We didn't defend the far post well. You're thinking, how's Castagne got so much space inside the penalty area? So, yeah, it was one of those thinking, God, not again. But it was one of the very few low moments we experienced out there today.
Well, listen, he got the second goal and it was his first goal in the Premier League for Ryan Gravenberch today. He is speaking with Mark Benstead.
Ryan, given what's happened over the course of the last week or so, both in Europe and the league, how big was it to win today?
For us, it was important because, we are out of Europe. And we had to get confidence again, and we win today, so that gives us an extra boost.
You've had to wait a little while for your first Premier League goal. It was a good one when it came. Talk us through it. How pleased were you with it?
Sorry?
How pleased were you with the strike?
I think I got the ball from Harvey, and as soon as I take the first touch, I knew already that I wanted to shoot, and when it goes in, It's nicer to go in to the post, you know? So, I'm very happy with my first Prem goal.
The games are ticking down. How do you view what lies ahead of Liverpool in these remaining few fixtures?
For us, we go, just game by game. And we win today, and Everton is waiting for us on Wednesday. And, we have to be prepared for them as well. And then we go moving forward.
I was going to say, is it a case just win your games and see what happens elsewhere?
Yes. That's the best what you can do.
Very best of luck for the derby.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll speak about the derby on Wednesday night in just a moment. He's got one of the best smiles in the squad, I think, Ryan Gravenberch, and he's smiling tonight, as he should be, because he's not had the easiest of seasons, so great to see him amongst the goals.
Yeah, I mean, he's still young, isn't he? What, he's still only about 21, so still looks a little bit raw. There's a lot more to come from him. I think he's a player who can contribute with goals, and we saw that today. It was nice to get his first Premier League goal. I know he's got a few in cup competitions this season. I thought it was a great finish. You know, I think he's a player who will add numbers to the penalty area to become a goal threat. You know, I think he will be one of those that gets into the area. He can dribble and drive past midfielders really well, a little bit different. You know, I thought he'd have suited Atalanta because he could beat that man-for-man system really well. Listen, he came into the team today. He gave the Liverpool energy. He's got himself a goal there. He's contributed really well. Big smile on his face. Can't ask for more than that.
You can't indeed. I mean, hopefully that can be a bit of a catalyst for him, Gary, because competition is so fierce for places in that Liverpool midfield, and goals really is something that you need to have in your locker to be in there.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because like you've that area of midfield that you've got so many players, haven't you? You've got to pick a balance of like who's going to like work with who, and at this moment in time, he's not in the starting pecking order, I don't think, if Liverpool were to play their best 11. But that's not to say that he can't contribute. He's come in today and he's contributed. His performance was decent. I thought he'd played exceptionally well. And then he gets a goal on top of that. So he's played his part. Whether he plays against Everton or not, I'm not 100% sure. We'll have to wait and see. But in saying that, he is still young. He's still improving. And I think there's a lot more to come from Ryan Gravenberch.
It's good as well, isn't it, to get two goals today from outside of the front line, because you'd have to go back to Luton in February to find a game when someone other than Alexis McAllister scored from outside the front line, if that makes sense. So, Trent, I'm Ryan Gravenberch today.
Yeah, I felt as though one area I wanted to see us improve this season was goals from other areas. I don't think we had enough last season from midfield, and maybe defence as well. It was an over-reliance on the attacking players, whereas I think this season it has been improved. You know, we have seen more goals shared about, and another example today being, rather than it having to be Salah all the time or a front three player, we're having contribution from different areas of the pitch. Trent scoring from defence, obviously, and also Gravenberch from midfield. So the numbers are up, so that eases that pressure on the attacking players, that if they're not firing, then we're not going to be scoring goals, which is certainly going to be helpful for the team.
You have to say that the way Liverpool do play, they rely a lot on like their goals from like the forward players. You go back to like the 4 or 5 years ago when we're talking about Mohamed Salah, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane. The bulk of the goals, the majority of the goals were scored by these three. Now we've got like more or less five forward players. They're shared out a little bit more with like these five players.
Yeah.
And the likes of Szoboszlai, I think Szoboszlai scored 7 goals this season already. So for him to come in his first season and score 7 goals, that's a pretty good return from like the position that he plays as well.
Just a quick break in the show to tell you there's never been a better time to show your support for the Reds. Whether it's getting kitted out with this season's Nike home strip, checking out the new arrivals to our training range, or if you want to roll back the years with a shirt from our retro range, the Liverpool FC store has everything you need. And right now, there's even savings of up to 50% on this season's away kit while stocks last. Visit a store today. Go online at liverpoolfc.com/store or download the official LFC store app to find what you're looking for. Right, let's get back to the show. Well, with that victory over Fulham, Liverpool climb up to a joint top of the table, both on 74 points. Arsenal sit top with a better goal difference. Liverpool in second, with City in third on 73 points with a game in hand. Mels, I mean, back in August, we would have absolutely bitten your hand off to be in this position right now.
Yeah, absolutely. 5 games to go. We know that we're chasing and hoping that Arsenal slip up. Wolves gave them a game. It was, 1-0 up until late on. They got that second goal. You're looking at the remaining fixtures, and we're all doing it. You're looking at City's fixtures, you're looking at Arsenal fixtures and thinking they might slip up there. They both went out in Europe during the week, which you're thinking if they'd have played those semi-final games in the Champions League, that might have affected a few Premier League games. That's now out of the equation. So it's going to be interesting to see how the pressure shifts. I think that's going to be a big factor for me, because Arsenal and ourselves, we both play another Premier League game before City are back in action in the Premier League, Brighton away. So if we can go 4 points clear of City, how will they handle chasing? Now, they've got the games in hand, but they need to be winning those games in hand. So that could be a slight glimmer of hope that I'm holding on to. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, City, the way they've been in recent seasons, you're thinking, where are they dropping points? We have hope, don't we?
I mean, you probably watched it yesterday, Gary, but Pep Guardiola's pretty strongly worded statement afterwards, you know, when he was interviewing and saying that he couldn't believe they'd been made to play the Saturday game, and obviously there was the option to play the Sunday game. I mean, they looked a little bit leggy. It's something they are used to, playing this volume of games, but equally it's a tough few weeks.
It's tough. I mean, and they did probably get the wrong end of the stick there, didn't they, with like the way the games went about. And you can take maybe a little bit like sympathy for them. But in saying that, the squad that they have is like, I mean, it's a fantastic squad. So they have like probably the best squad in the Premier League, strength and depth wise. So I think for him to like complain about it as much as he did, I think was a little bit over the top. But what you have to say is like, they are course and distance winners, aren't they? They have been here before. They know what it's all about. I don't think they'll feel the pressure, to be quite honest with you. But that's not to say that they won't slip up, because you can slip up in any game in the Premier League. You just have to be like a fraction off your game and teams will expose you. And hence the reason why everybody's so nervous about our performances. But I don't think Manchester City will feel the pressure too much. I think that the pressure will come from our performances being good and Arsenal's performances being good. But the fact that like we played 2 games ahead of them, I don't think that'll bother them too much.
Yeah, you would think they'll probably have recharged by Thursday night when they do go down to the Amex, which is never an easy game, but then we said that about Arsenal going there and they made quite light work of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brighton have got a big performance in them. I think they've underperformed in recent weeks and maybe months for whatever reason. They've had a lot of injuries, but a lot of the key players are back fit now. They'll be fresh. They're chasing European football. They've absolutely loved being in Europe this season, so there's still a chance for them to finish in Europe. When you looked at the league table, Tottenham Hotspur have got a massive part to play in this Premier League title race. They've got to come to Anfield. They don't like Arsenal, so they want to beat them. That's the way it is.
They do not like Arsenal.
We were at Old Trafford and they were celebrating a draw because they were made up with a draw, United against us. They're big rivals, so they'd be desperate to take points off Arsenal. And City struggled down at Spurs.
Both games are at Tottenham Hotspur
So Tottenham, they're chasing top four. Fifth place isn't going to be a Champions League place now. They've got to get some results as they try and put some pressure on Aston Villa as well.
We'll speak about Arsenal because obviously, as we say, today felt like Liverpool had to win. And I think Arsenal going to Wolves had that similar feel about it. They had to get 3 points at Molineux.
They would have been exactly the same as us going into that game. I think, looking at the games, I think we would have probably felt a little bit more pressure going into the Fulham game, just purely and simply because it was Fulham as opposed to Wolves. And that's not taking anything away from Wolves. I think Fulham at home are normally like a tougher opposition than Wolves. And I think there was a little bit more anxiety, a little bit more nervousness going into our game than maybe what Arsenal had going into Wolves' game. But in saying that, that's what it's all about at this stage of the season. If you don't feel these nerves, then you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, and they play Chelsea on Tuesday night, who were, as we said before, a little bit unlucky against Manchester City. And they seem to be finding their form, Chelsea, at the moment.
Unlucky or wasteful? Some chances,
maybe
didn't they?
Maybe both.
Maybe a bit unlucky with the decision, with the handball. Chelsea are capable. You know, we had a tough game down there, first game of the season. They've drawn twice against City as well. So you're looking at that one and thinking, Arsenal, how many changes will Arsenal make? Because I think Arsenal's strongest 11... Are a really, really good side. But I think if you're making a few changes, and the fact that Saliba and Gabriel seem to be playing almost every game together, if he's not making a change that might unsettle them.
The one thing you would say about Arsenal is that he hasn't rotated his squad nearly as much as what Manchester City and Pep and Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp has rotated theirs. So whether there's that little bit of fatigue in the last five games, listen, we'll just have to wait and see. The trophy's there, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, if you can't raise yourself for like five games to win a Premier League title, then I think there's something wrong with you.
No, it's interesting what you say there, though, isn't it? Because Liverpool, when we talk about a lack of clean sheets, I think it's one in 11 maybe now at the moment, whereas they haven't had that stability in the back line, whereas Arsenal have had that pretty much consistently throughout the whole season. And that is your basis, really, isn't it?
Well, you said about the spine a little bit earlier on, didn't you? And the fact that Arsenal key players... I've barely missed a Premier League game. You know, Saliba's not missed one. Rice, I think he got rested for one, but he's been available for all the games. Odegaard's had a lot of good availability as well. Your best players, your key players, if they're available all the time, I think that's a massive advantage. Arsenal missed out last year. Saliba got injured last 10 Premier League games, and that really did derail them. Now, five games to go. Who knows if a key injury might be lurking around the corner for any one of the three teams chasing? I hope not. But that could play its part as well because of the fatigue the managers are talking about. The players are thinking, oh, we've got to go again. That may play its part as well. The squad rotation. So today we're talking about Gravenberch getting a goal, coming into the side, five changes. That's so important because rather than the same 11 playing all the time, it's on you. The squad have got to all contribute if you are going to still maintain that momentum, results. And that's where I think Jurgen did a good job.
I mean, when you look back, you think like three goals that I've scored today are three players that have not been in the team on a regular basis in the last like four or five, half a dozen games.
Would you like to hear from one of them now, Gary?
Well, I'd love to.
Would you like to hear from Diogo Jota?
I'd love to.
Here he is, as if by magic, with Mark Benston.
Diogo, well done. What was the most important thing in getting the victory today? What was key?
I think pretty much everything we did. The game was pretty much very good from our side, exception from maybe the last 15 in the first half, where they had a bit of momentum and we couldn't control it. But I think generally we played good. We avoid them to have the ball. We have the ball. We create some chances. We scored goals. So I think really positive today.
How pleased to get a goal on your first start for a little while?
Yeah, a little while was massive for me, for the team as well. That goal always... gives you an extra comfort on the lead, kind of kills the game, and I think was massive for me, for the team, so I'm happy for that.
Was it one where you're thinking, I might get subbed soon, so I need to take a chance quickly if I'm going to score?
Yeah, well, I was waiting for my chance all the game. Until that point, I knew I probably was not going to make my all the game because, like you said, I'm just coming back after around 3 months. So, yeah, but really important for me. I took my chance today and, yeah, take that into the next game.
With the games running out, supporters are starting to look at the fixtures, look at the league table, look at the goal difference, all those things. As players, how do you deal with it? Do you get involved in any of that?
No, we know to have a chance we need to win all of our remaining games, and this week it's massive because we have a short time to rest and a lot of away games. So we did the first one, but Merseyside Derby next, quick turnaround, then we go again.
Well done today.
Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have him back, isn't it? We spoke on the preview show on Friday, Gary, where we said that a lot of Diogo Jota goals between now and the end of the season would be the perfect tonic, and we're off the mark.
I think we saw like his performance throughout the course of the game that he wasn't quite on it, if you know what I mean. I think he was like, you know, he was maybe just a little bit short at times. But what he's a proven goal scorer. He's an out-and-out goal scorer. He'll score all different sort of goals as well. Score with his head. You see that, like the angle that he takes the ball with his left foot. He hits it with his left foot into the far corner, across the goalkeeper, as all good strikers would probably do. But there's, you know, he can score in a number of ways. And I think we certainly missed him last season. Him and Diaz being out for so long was a big blow for us last season. And he's one of these players that seem, unfortunately enough, the injuries that he picks up always seem to be quite severe and bad injuries, and he's always out seemingly for like quite a few games. But for him to be fit and ready to go for the remainder of the season is a plus for Liverpool.
I think when he went in for that chance, I think the big difference he gives you more than maybe some of the other attacking players. Fancy him to score.
Yeah, he looks as if he's going to score. Yeah.
Fancy him to score. Yeah. And like you say, we've had some big chances in some games which we've not taken and may have well have resulted in drop points at certain times. Seeing him back fit out there, knowing that he's got that ability to be the match winner and the way he can be clinical and ruthless. He missed one the other day against Palace, which was unlike him. Mm. But getting up to speed, more minutes, that rhythm the manager talks about, it's massive for him because he can score some big goals between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, and let's see, as a striker yourself with that experience, I mean, how important is it when you come back from an injury to get amongst the goals pretty much straight away?
I think what can be the hardest thing is the expectation. Yeah. Everyone's thinking, Jota's back. But as a player, you're not back at those levels where you were before the injury. It was an innocuous injury at Brentford. The lad fell on him. He's had to recover. He's had to be patient with that. He wants to get back at them levels, and he's looking like he's getting close to it. But any player that comes back from an injury, certainly as an attacking player, you are not at that clinical, sharp best which you were before the injury. So hopefully he's looking like he's close to that. And it was great to see him get a goal. Centre forward thrive off scoring goals. He's got himself a goal. He'll be absolutely buzzing going into that Merseyside derby now.
Yes, just about managing expectations, isn't it? As Mel said, we're so thrilled to have him back. But at the same time, you've kind of got to just give him a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, but I think, listen, Neil said, strikers feed off goals. I mean, and when you're scoring goals as a striker, your confidence grows. And when you've got confidence on the pitch, it makes up for a heck of an awful lot, like games that you've missed. It gives you that belief. It gives you that confidence that every time that you go on the pitch, you're going to get a chance. You're going to get opportunities to score. And when you're like feeling like how he probably feels after today's game, after scoring, he fancies his chances to score. You could see, I think, Mohamed Salah, when he wanted to get on the pitch, because I think he fancied, like he really fancied himself to score a goal. Obviously, it didn't happen, but I think Jota's of that mould, that like given like the taste of a goal, then he wants more.
But how big is it that all five attacking players are fit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Five
yeah.
games to go. So, OK, two of them aren't going to start games, but there's options to come off the bench and really take the game beyond some teams between now and the end of the season. I think that's crucial. Brilliant to see them all fit and available at this moment.
A nice dilemma for the boss to have, isn't it? Speaking of the boss, here he is. Jurgen Klopp is with Mark Benstead.
Jurgen, how pleased with what you got from the boys this afternoon?
Very. I'm absolutely super happy with the performance, with the result. 10 minutes first half. Tried to control the game, but in the wrong way. People, come on, who cares what people think? it was windy, and you realize the first half we struggled all of a sudden a little bit with that because we gave them too many opportunities to use that, and we stood in between too often. And so that doesn't mean they have to score immediately, but they did. So 1-1, but we had really a lot of good situations. We only showed one, but we could have shown more good situations from first half where we showed if we play like this, if we are that flexible, if we play around and through the formation, if we mix it up between switches and short passes and in behind, then they will have problems and we will be in the game again immediately. And that's what we have to do, because now I wanted to see in the second half as well a team who's really here for winning. If you are 1-0 up, and then you try to control it and understand it for different personal reasons, because it's just super intense and some didn't play for a long time, blah, blah, blah. Ryan, Trent now, yeah, but they cannot have rhythm. Diogo, Buff, a little bit like that as well. So these kind of things. And you understand that, but if you really want to win, you have to keep the right things doing during the whole time. And we did that immediately after the break. Played a really good second half. Scored two wonderful goals, could have scored more, and very deserved 3 points. Feels great.
Given all those things, given this stage of the season when anxiety can creep into players, what does it say about the boys that they could find moments of real quality, which we saw today? Some of the goals, you know, Trent's strike is fabulous, for example.
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't now think 1 second about anxiety until you mentioned it. So it's actually not really around the building. We just... So let me say, we had a week which was not great. It was not as, the results were as bad as everybody thought, but the performances were not as bad as everybody thought. But you have to deal with that, and it cost us. And obviously Atalanta was definitely not good enough at home. But the chances we created in the other games were ridiculous. So how can you keep these kind of things, make the right changes, stuff like this? So try to get momentum back, but in front of the goal we obviously didn't have that in that time, and now we won at Bergamo, and that helped already. I know it's difficult. We were not sitting in the dressing room and open a bottle of champagne because we won an away game. It was just I felt that was a good move, a good step in the right direction. And today we made a few more. And now it's the most intense week now of the season, to be honest, with Saturday, Wednesday and Saturday. So we have to recover quickly and go again.
You now turn your attention to your last trip to Goodison Park. How much are you relishing that and all that fixture brings?
No, I have nothing to do with that, with last fixtures and stuff like this. But people ask me about Bergamo, last international game. I'm not in that mood. I don't know. Maybe it comes, and maybe next year when I watch an international game, then I get emotional. I cannot see that, but maybe that will be the case. But at the moment, I'm completely in the situation. I can say it one more time. It's not about me. It's not a farewell tour. It's what people make of it. It's about doing the absolute best and getting the maximum for this wonderful club. That's all.
You can appreciate time.
Jurgen Klopp focusing on business until his tenure draws to a close against Wolves at Anfield in May. But very pleased today, Gary, and rightly so, the boss.
Yeah, rightly so. I'm sure he's chuffed with the performance and even more chuffed with the result. Whether he's, like he says, there's no anxiety, I'm not 100% behind him in that one. But probably that's a good thing. I mean, if they're not feeling anxiety in the dressing room at the training camp, it's all the anxiety on the fans and the pundits that we sit here.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. But I'm sure that's got to creep in somewhere along the line. But no, I think he'll be happy with the performance. And as I say, more than delighted with the 3 points when what could have been a really tricky game. Mm.
I think we just heard a glimpse of why he's one of the best coaches in world football. The halftime team talk was imperative. Just conceded the goal right in halftime. You're thinking, lads would have been flat. And he spoke to them at half-time. Listen, that was a really good first half. These are the moments we've done. Now you've got to go out in second half. And do you want to win? Sort of ask the questions of players. Do you want to go and win? Because of the importance of it. He's not saying, we have to win. So he's sort of, the way he's worded it to the players has got that sort of reaction. And like you say, this is a time to really enjoy what's left of Jurgen. There's 5 Premier League games to go. We're all really appreciative of what he's given this football club. The highs, so many of them. It could be an unbelievable high. We're still in the hunt, and this was a big 3 points. It really was.
It's interesting, like, to hear him as well saying, like the half-time interval, how you he dwells on like the positive things, doesn't he? Like forget the goal. Like he says, like, yeah, well, we were a bit scruffy and a bit loose in like defence and like that. But here's what we were good at, and here's how we can get back to that. Like, and that's, you know, it just inserts positive thoughts in all his players. And I think the one thing that you would always say about Jurgen Klopp, he's always been that positive kind of manager. He wants his teams to play on the front foot, be positive, take the game to the opposition. And, you know, that's, I think, that's vitally important. His man management skills have been, from day one, have been absolutely top notch.
Yeah, and that obviously bleeds down to the players, of course, just because we spoke to Alexis McAllister, I think it was, after the Atalanta game at Anfield, where you would kind of course, expect people to be down, but he sort of came out and said, look, we're the same players, it's the same team, you know, nothing changes overnight. And it's keeping things in perspective, I suppose, when you have a difficult week, which rarely happens at this football club.
Yeah, it doesn't. But rather than letting that affect and completely derail our season, that's why today was so important, to get back to winning ways, to give everyone a lift, not just the players, but the fans as well. I think that will give everybody a lift around the football club to think that we could still end the season on a high. And it just reminds Everton and West Ham, two big games around the corner, that we've got a good performance. And as you mentioned, it, Fulham away has been a tough place to go. Arsenal have been turned over there. Brighton have been beaten there. They beat Spurs convincingly there this season as well. So City have still got to go there. That won't be an easy game for them. That was a really good win for us.
Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. So let's talk all things Merseyside derby, Mels. Everton with a big morale boosting win at Goodison Park this afternoon against Nottingham Forest. So that's a huge one for them, and will give them a bit of a lift going into this.
Needed it. Yeah, after that 6-0 drubbing at Chelsea, you're starting to think, oh, they are in serious trouble. Some of the fixtures that they have remaining feel as though there's some massive games. I think they've still got Luton to play, maybe even Sheffield United as well. But big 3 points, it takes them 5 points clear of the relegation places, sort of eases that little bit of pressure. I think we all think the bottom two are gone, Sheffield United and Burnley. I can't think Burnley are going to get out of it as much as mathematically they might be able to, but no, I don't think they're good enough. And then it looks at Luton, Forest, probably one of them. So Everton have got themselves in a position which is slightly further away. Whether that eases the pressure on them for the game against Liverpool on Wednesday, whether it gives them confidence boost as well to back that performance up and result against Forest, time will tell.
Yeah, there was a very nasty looking injury to Beto today, who was carried off with gas and air and taken to hospital afterwards. So it looks like he will presumably not be part of any activities on Wednesday night. But they're very shot shy, Everton, this season, Gary. And you would think if Liverpool, as they generally do, can get a couple, it would be hard for Everton to challenge that.
Well, it will be. I think when you look at the two teams and the performances over the last few seasons, Liverpool, like, miles ahead of Everton at this moment in time, but it is the derby, and the one thing that you can guarantee, like especially playing at Goodison, the Evertonians will lift themselves. This is their cup final. If they would love to do nothing but nothing better than to stop Liverpool winning the Premier League title, and this is their occasion to do that. So it's going to be tough. It always is a tough game at Goodison Park, regardless of where the teams are. Liverpool going into it with a bit of confidence, Everton going into it with a little bit of confidence after that victory. But in saying that, who knows? It's a throw up of the balls. And listen, Liverpool should win, but Liverpool, for me, should win a lot of games. But it's going to be very much in the lap of the gods. But as I say, Everton probably given themselves a better opportunity now to stay in the Premier League than maybe what they had. But they've got Sheffield United and they've got Luton, two games that you would expect them to win.
Yeah,
Luton away, but Sheffield United at home. As I said, Liverpool will be going there, and it's a derby. You never know what's going to happen.
I think as an Evertonian, there's probably games that they're looking at, like what Gary said there, Sheffield United at home. They've got Brentford at home, albeit Brentford had a decent result this weekend, but Luton away as well, where they probably almost are thinking if they can get anything on Wednesday night, as much as they would love to, it would be a bonus, and the other games are where they're focusing on.
Yeah, the priority is to stay in the Premier League. We know that. They've got themselves a little bit of a gap. I've got no idea what the latest is with the points deduction. I think it's a mess with what the Premier League have got themselves involved in, with Everton and Nottingham Forest as well. I hope it's all resolved before the last game of the season. Whether that is, I don't know. So less pressure for them. But I was at Old Trafford and United fans celebrating drawing against us. Everton fans will do the same. They really will. They'll be absolutely made up if they can help derail our title run. So do our job. Beat Everton, and then we can go into the game against West Ham knowing that we play first at the weekend.
And from a Liverpool perspective as well, really good that the likes of Mohamed Salah, Alexis McAllister have got a little bit of a recharge in the tank today.
Well, I think that'll be the one thing that'll be really interesting to see, like the manager starting 11. I think Ray touched on it there, like that, you know, he's got everybody to choose from. And we'll just have to wait and see what side he puts out. But I think whatever side he does put out, Liverpool certainly will be going into the game strong favourites. But the strong favourites always win the derby? Not always, but especially at Goodison Park. So it's a tough old game.
And that is it from The Reaction. My thanks to Gary Gillespie, Neil Mellor and Ray Howson for their analysis today. We are back on Wednesday night to look back at Liverpool's trip across Stanley Park to take on Everton in the Merseyside derby at Goodison. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. And we'll see you next time.